To be able to gather together with you and to travel with you is something that I do not take lightly. So just know that we count it a blessing to gather with you here tonight at Jericho Road, and we trust that our time is going to be an encouraging time for each. And so welcome. Welcome to each. Before we get into our study, just a reminder that a week from tonight, we step aside from our series, and we'll be having our communion afterglow next Wednesday night, and I encourage you to come on out for that if you're able to. But tonight, we press on in our series through the attributes of God. As Tim mentioned, tonight, we're in the faithfulness of God. And towards that end, let's turn to Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3, as we're going to jump in, of course. And just to kind of get us thinking in these regards, or why we're looking at this and what it means to us, just a few things to think about. Every one of us are no strangers to being lied to. I don't know what it was like in previous generations before my time, but probably man being what man is, probably from the beginning, lies have been part of his makeup. But certainly we all know and have been on the receiving end and on the giving end of lies. But we live in an age in which the truth is held lightly, and people do not keep to their promises. Suppose there was a time when a man's word was his bond, and a handshake meant he was good for it. Now I think that's pretty much that's gone by the way. Because whether it's on television or politicians or anywhere down the road, we know that we live in an age of lying and broken promises. So it's no small thing that there is one who will never lie. There is one who will never break a promise, never has, never will. And so tonight we're going to look at him and that part of him. And remember, as we come to the attributes of God, let's insert this real quick. By necessity to study the attributes of God, we have to kind of take one attribute a week or just take a period of time on each attribute. But remember, all of God's attributes exist in him in perfection. He is 100% of every one of his attributes. We pull them out and kind of focus on one, but be careful we never emphasize one to the diminishing of another in our minds. I was reading one commentator that says some people can tend to do that. For example, they get so much on the love of God that all of a sudden they get a lopsided God. Not that God is lopsided, but their view of God becomes lopsided. And you'll see that sometimes people are really beating the drum over one attribute of God, his justice, you know, or something, and they really crank on that. But God exists, all those attributes of God exist 100% in totality, completeness in him, in perfection in him. We break this out to look at it, but always remember that. You can't really separate them. They're all true of him. But tonight, we're going to look at God's faithfulness. As we come to Lamentations 3, just a reminder, at this point, Jerusalem lay in rubble. And Jeremiah is lamenting, weeping, mourning, if you will, grieving over the conditions that he was seeing. Tradition says he got together, he sat over in a grotto overlooking Jerusalem. Many feel that it was probably where Golgotha was. And he was sat there because it's the high point. You can overlook Jerusalem from there. And he probably sat there and he was lamenting. He's mourning. And what is he mourning? Mourning over Jerusalem because of its fall, its captivity. It was facing destruction. It was just a very sad time as people were reaping the consequences of their rebellion and all. So here he is. He's facing this destruction of his beloved city of Jerusalem that was such a gem. And now it's just going through what it's going through. And everything seems to be coming apart. Nothing outward looking at it. Nothing's going good here. And yet Jeremiah, looking across all this, is able to declare the verses we're going to look at here in Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. In the light of the God that Jeremiah knows, Jeremiah finds hope. Not in what he sees physically. The hope's not in the circumstances. His hope is in the God that he knows never fails. He knows that God had never failed him in the past. He wasn't going to start now. That God had promised to remain faithful, and he ever more so would be. And even now, God was at work. And thus Jeremiah declares, we're in Lamentations 3, verses, I'm going to jump into 22 and 23. Through the Lord's mercies we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I love those verses. In terms of the Old Testament, for me, those are like the top verses, just in my life. How about you? Do you love the truth that's captured in those verses? Look at that. So the Lord's mercies were not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. In all that we face, we can lean on this truth that God is faithful. And my whole goal tonight, well, a couple of goals. One is to define and explore the faithfulness of God. Then we're going to hopefully do a little bit of application as to what it all means to us. We're going to see, hopefully, what, at least some of what it means to us that God is faithful, with the end goal of glorifying God for just that, for his faithfulness. What does it mean when we say God is faithful? We'll often say that, oh, God is faithful and great is his faithfulness. But what does it mean? Does it line up with what God says faithfulness means? Is our take on, if I could ask right now, define God's faithfulness, would it line up with Scripture? Well, let's make sure we're on the same page tonight. Let's pray. Father, we always stand back in awe and wonder as we come to just considering you and your various attributes. Lord, we're very aware of it's like diving in the ocean. Begin to explore, but so much. You are vast, infinite. But Lord, you do know us. You love us. And I pray you would just encourage and minister and help us grow and go deeper in this whole awesome truth of your great faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, that there is a place, there is one whose word is sure and will never fail us. Help us tonight just to soak right there in Jesus' name. Amen. And that is true. When I say explore God's faithfulness, it is something like saying, well, let's go explore the ocean. If I said to you, hey, let's meet this Saturday, we're going to explore the ocean. And you're going to say, well, that'll take you more than you got time left. You know, yeah, that's more than a lifetime right there. And so understand that we can't really take in all of God, all of his faithfulness. Which is true for all his attributes, of course. But still he invites us to do so. So we're going to take a look at some scriptures and make some statements about that. But just the idea of exploring, looking around, hopefully growing in this whole area. You know, and I've been mentioning a lot of scriptures tonight. You can jot them down if you're a note keeper. You don't have to write down the verses, just maybe the reference if you choose to. But in Deuteronomy 7:9, therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. So I chose to jump in there or just try to drive home that fact that it declares that God is, one description of him is, he is God, the faithful God. There's no doubt, and we're not going to even kind of scratch the surface of all the scriptures that point out that truth about God, that he is the faithful God. But he says, but know this. He goes, but therefore know it. So he wants us to know it. It's unknowable, yet we're to explore it. Know this, that your God, he's God, and he is the faithful God. So he wants us to have it settled, to know his faithfulness. You've heard me mention it before, as well as probably others from the pulpit here, but Pastor Chuck Smith always tried to drive home that fact that whenever you come up against something in life that you don't understand, fall back on what you do know. Well, I don't understand the circumstances. I understand what's going on, but I know this. Always have certain things settled. And what basically that means, fall back on the nature, the character of God. Because so often we go through things, we don't see the end yet. We don't know what's going on, don't understand it. But we can know this. In this case, we can know that God is faithful. We're to know that intellectually, we're to know it experientially. You have to have both. And he invites us to do that, to know that God is faithful. So his word helps establish it, and then our experiences confirm it, that God is faithful to us. So the word faithfulness, it says there that great is your faithfulness. Declare that about God. What does the word faithfulness mean? Strong's defines it as this. The literal definition is firmness. Figuratively, it means security. Morally, it means fidelity. Now, that's the general definition. But we want to apply it to God. We want to go much deeper than that. What is faithfulness when applied to God? What is the definition of God's faithfulness? I'm going to read a couple of things for you. By the way, if you go to study the attributes of God, there just is certain books that are kind of classics in this area. And of course, one person who wrote a lot about it was A.W. Tozer. Tozer says this, quote, "Faithfulness is that in God which guarantees that he will never be or act inconsistent with himself." You can put that down as an axiom. He says, God will never cease to be what he is and who he is. Everything God says or does must be in accord with his faithfulness. He will always be true to himself, to his works, and to his creation. End quote. God will never act or be inconsistent with himself, with his nature. 2 Timothy 2:13. If we're faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Again, it's the scripture supporting that truth, that God would never be or act inconsistent with himself. We might be faithless, but he remains faithful. He will never deny himself. So he's faithful. He's faithful to his word. He's faithful to his very nature, his character. In short, God will do everything he has said. If God said it, you can take it to the bank. It is sure. I guess we're kind of used to it. I'm kind of watching for responses like, yeah. We get kind of used to it. But think how important that is to our faith, to our lives, to know that God will never lie. And when we pray a promise, we lay hold of something he has said, we can know that it's sure. God will never lie. He can be depended upon. Don't put upon God what people have done, the way that people are. Well, can I really trust him? Will he really do what he said? He wants us to have the blessing of settling the issue. Our God is a God who cannot lie. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? I'm helping us see that they're all scripturally supported. It's not that we're all just saying, well, let's kind of make God how we'd like him to be, and let's come up with some warm, fuzzy feelings about him. These are clear declarations in the Bible of God's character and nature. God won't lie. He can't lie. He never has a need to repent. God doesn't have to say, oh, I'm sorry. If he said it, he'll do it. It's settled. It's sure. A guy named Ray Pritchard, a Bible commentator, says this. He asks a question. He says, how many people do you know who do exactly what they say? Before you answer, let me rephrase the question. How many do you know who do exactly what they say every single time? Now, before you answer, let me rephrase it again. How many people do you know do exactly what they say every single time and do it with such thoroughness and perfection that you never have to worry about anything they say or do? Again, before you answer, let me add one more thing, he says. How many people do you know, no matter what the circumstances, no matter how they feel, will always do exactly what they say they will do every single time and do with the same thoroughness and perfection that you never have to worry about anything they say or do, because you know if they say it, they will definitely do it without fail, without change, without excuse. Well, he structured such a way that you see where he's going. He's saying you can't find that at a human level. Now, of course, there are people who have a loyalty and they are faithful, and it's counted unto us to be faithful stewards and all. But this isn't about us tonight. This is about God. And when you put it this way, only God meets this. Only God does every time, without fail, what he says, to perfection, etc. But we do find that in him. We do find that in him. God's faithfulness means that because he is the truth, everything he says and does is certain. Again, that means that he is 100% reliable. 100% of the time, he's 100% reliable. He does not fail. God doesn't forget. God doesn't change. He doesn't disappoint. He doesn't falter. So again, in short, God says what he means and means what he says. And therefore, everything he does, everything he says he'll do, he will do. Now, a key ingredient here, a couple of things is this. Make sure you're laying hold of what he said. We can't put upon God what we want him to say, what we wish he would say, the way we want it to go, because that's when we wind up saying what? Well, God, you didn't keep your word. Well, show me where he said that. Well, so often it's not there. We want it to be there. We stretched something and turned it. But if it's God's word, that you can bank on. Secondly is, be careful you don't try to put your timing on it, because his timing is perfect. And God will say something to us, and then 2 minutes later, we're like, well, okay, God, hey, God, it hasn't happened. What's going on? Can I really trust you? Because we're impatient people. We've got to trust his means, his ways, his timing. But remember, nothing can force God to act otherwise than what will be true to himself. He is faithful to himself and to his word, and he's faithful to us. No person will cause God to change. No circumstance will cause God to change. Well, if God really knew what I was like, he probably... No, he knows exactly what he is saying and who he's saying it to. He knows everything about us, past, present, future. There's nothing God can learn that would change his mind about anything. As I was reading, some commentators point out the fact that his faithfulness, God's faithfulness, it's there's a kind of a link to what's called his immutability. To be immutability means he doesn't change. God doesn't change. And when you link that together with his faithfulness, you have assurance. You have this anchor, this rock is the idea. And so make sure you're rested and just that we keep that in mind. He'll not break a promise. God will never say one thing and mean another. God won't forget. God won't overlook. You're not going to hear God go, oh, I didn't realize that. When I told you I loved you, I forgot about what you did. I forget that. Oh, when I made that promise to you, well, I just realized that doesn't happen. See, the fact that God can't change and that God can't lie is rooted in the fact that he knows everything. And to change would mean that somewhere either God wasn't perfect, if he changed to something else, either he wasn't perfect or he becomes imperfect, and then neither one's going to happen. He is perfect all the time. What he declares is in light of everything. For me, And again, how can you draw out one and emphasize one or the other? We shouldn't. But tonight we're talking about faithfulness. And I'll tell you this. As one who has this privilege to stand before people, God's faithfulness is just so... I feel like I learn new depth about it all the time. And you probably do too. Hopefully you are. But I'm just reflecting from where he has my calling or what he has me doing and all. And I sit down to prepare a message, and I have to rest in the fact that God, you're faithful. If I sit down and say, okay, it's up to my intellect. My intellect's got to do it. Oh, you'd be in, oh, that'd be scary, wouldn't it? Those that know me go, yeah. Lord, I got to come up with something even better. Last week I had that good little example. I get two examples. They better be really smart. It's not about intellect. It's about a lot of other things, about the power of the Holy Spirit, etc. But I guess what I'm saying is preparing a message, I rest in God's faithfulness because he wants his sheep well fed. He wants his people taught and loved. And he's looking for opportunities to do that. If I'll pay attention, he'll set before me that which he wants us to know and consider and soak in because he's faithful to it. And so I rest in this. When I stand before you, when I walk out here, I'm always conscious. And again, I'm only reflecting for me. You do the same in your callings. But I always am falling back upon God's faithfulness. I always say, God, if you don't do it, I'm fried. I'm in big trouble. That's the way it should be. Always relying upon his faithfulness. But he is faithful. And so many times, I'm seeing faithful in illnesses and everything else. Because he is faithful. In that counseling session, God is faithful. In that hospital call, God is faithful. As we go through, as I travel with people, God is faithful. And together we can look to him and experience. And I would never want to sit down with someone in a hospital setting or something and again, just try to come up with some platitude of my own or something. But I can love it and say, hey, no, let's both of us talk about and soak in God's faithful. That he'll never leave or forsake you. And he's promised that. And he is at work, etc. See, that's awesome. That's huge. And so I want us to remember that. Abraham, you're going to have a kid. Have you looked at me lately, God? That's probably not going to be a happening thing. I'm really old and Sarah's not too far behind me. But God said, it even talks about that Hebrews 11, that faith chapter we talked about. Real quick, because it even talks about how Sarah, it even says that's what she... By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And when it talks about Abraham, and in Romans, when Paul is pointing to Abraham and his righteousness coming through faith and all, why? He says, because Abraham believed that what God had promised, he was able to do. So you have Abraham, you have Sarah both saying, well, I know this, God's faithful. And God saw that and they were counted righteous for it. Joseph is in prison. I mean, look at all that he went through. Brother sold him and he winds up in prison, falsely accused and everything else. And through the process there, it'd be easy for Joseph maybe to go, hey, God, start doubting God's faithfulness. But when it's all said and done, Joseph was able to say, hey, you guys meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God was faithful. He was with me. He didn't desert me. He used it all. He worked in it all. See, our timing is imperfect. We want it now. How long did Abraham wait for a kid? Think about it. But God was faithful to it all. Maybe you're in the prison part right now. Maybe you're in the promise part, but you haven't seen it come about yet. God is faithful. Moses is standing there, Red Sea in front of him, Pharaoh and the other ones chasing him behind him. God, you said you would deliver us, and this isn't looking good. But no, God has said it, and God did it. Be careful of circumstances. Be careful of looking at God is faithful. Now again, don't make up, well, God said to make up our own, but when you can lay hold of it, lay hold of it. That's what he's trying to teach us. Faithfulness. He's faithful. And on down to today. Centuries of people who could testify to God's faithfulness. And down to us today, who hopefully are able to say that same thing. God, you are faithful. What does Scripture assure us about God's faithfulness that we can count on? Not that we make up, but what about God's faithfulness? Let's just go through a couple here briefly. Psalm 89:33. Nevertheless, my loving kindness I will not utterly take from him, nor allow my faithfulness to fail. So what can we add to our definition of faithfulness? It will never fail. His faithfulness is unfailing. The next thing, Psalm 36:5. Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. It's really just a way of saying his faithfulness is unlimited. We are surrounded by it, is the idea. No limits, because there's no limits to God. There's no limits to his faithfulness. Psalm 89:2 says, for I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Your faithfulness you shall establish in the very heavens. God's faithfulness is established. It is sure. It is settled in God himself. So it is an established thing. Psalm 89:8. O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty like you, O Lord? Your faithfulness also surrounds you. God's faithfulness is all-encompassing. We're not talking tonight about God's omnipresence. Lord willing, that's up ahead, a couple weeks away. But when we get there, we'll just be reminded of and really consider hopefully further that God is everywhere, everywhere. And so therefore, everything about him is with him everywhere. And in this case, his faithfulness is all-encompassing. You're not going to go somewhere and escape or get away from his faithfulness. Well, I don't know if his faithfulness will apply to me here or that situation. It's everywhere because it's part of his nature and he's everywhere. So it's incomparable. Who's mighty like you? Who's like you, God? You can't compare it to anybody else. Your faithfulness is everywhere. Psalm 119:90. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides. So again, it's this idea that it's limitless. It's everlasting. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You can't tap out God's faithfulness. Oh, I ran out. Sorry, I ran out of faithfulness with your dad. You're out of luck. No, it's to all generations. It's limitless. You're not going to exhaust God's faithfulness. So what does all that mean to us? I want to do a little bit of application here, but I'm only going to look at this in terms of God's part in this. Because we're here to look at God and attributes. But I want us to do a little bit of application. So what is this? And again, we kind of scratched the surface, but enough to kind of begin to answer the question. What does all this mean to us that we can look to Scripture to support? Well, let's take a look at a couple. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation is overtaking you except such as is common to man. I was going to ask, does anybody here face temptation? But it's a given because we're told. And you're not unique if you go through temptations. Now, there are different types, but in general, his point being is we all face them. But God is what? That one you can answer. God is what? Faithful. So we're going to see. When we face temptation, there's this attribute of God that Paul brings in here, brings into play, helps us to make sure we lay hold of and understand something. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. So, when we face temptations, God is faithful. He will give you a way of escape. Now, whether you take that or not, that's in your court. But you do have choices. He will. He is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but He will give you a way out. The alarms will go off. His choice could be made the way He's pointing out, etc. But notice, it pivots around the faith. See, so how important is God's faithfulness in temptations? Paul points right to it. What else can we say about His faithfulness that helps us out? Well, let me put up 1 Thessalonians 5:24. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. It is so awesome that God doesn't call you and then say, go for it, hope you make it. Got a calling for your life. Now you do it, and I'll see at the end of your life, and we'll see how you did. No. He who calls us is faithful. He will do it. What's the next thing we can look to? Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For He who promised is, what? Faithful. Hold fast. See, we have hope, and we can hold fast to our hope. Hope of eternal life, forgiveness of sins, all those things. We can hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Why? Because He who promised is faithful. And so sometimes we find ourselves wavering because maybe we lost sight of He who said it. We get our eyes on the thing or the whatever's going on, and we lose sight of, but wait a minute, He who promised. He said one day He's going to present me before His throne, faultless. Amen. And I went, what? Man, that could be a total change. But He's going to do it. He committed Himself to that. He said, He who has begun a good work will complete it. Now see, we can lay hold of those promises because He is faithful. So hopefully see, I'm just pointing to His part in all these, some of these applications of God's faithfulness for us. How about this one? If we confess our sins, remember right before this, it says, if we say we have no sin, the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Again, that pivot point, if you will. His faithfulness, if we will confess, if we come and confess our sins, He is faithful. Do you sometimes, if you reach that point where you're truly repentant, you're broken, Lord, forgive me, don't wallow. Don't keep going on for weeks beating yourself up, well, I just wish I could feel forgiven. Rest in the truth of that He is faithful. And notice the combination, He's faithful and just. How can He be just? Because he judged it in the cross. He dealt for it in the shed blood. Therefore, He is faithful and just. He's able to, in His faithfulness, to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from just about everything we do wrong. No, from all unrighteousness. Because He is faithful. Well, we'll do 1 Peter 4:19. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as to a faithful Creator. Just pointing out there that in our suffering, His faithfulness is also so important. Well, I guess I just want to bring up one other thing here. Consider this last verse I want to bring up here. In Revelation 19:11, we see the Lord. Well, here I'll. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. Heaven opened. We see the Lord there. He's on a white horse. And he is called, and the first name that's attributed to him, of all the things that can be attributed. Now, don't overemphasize it. They're all to perfection. They're all 100% in him. But it's interesting that what's the first thing he's called? He's faithful. There's the faithful one. There's the one that was faithful to me the whole way. In my temptations, in my trials, in my sufferings, his promises are sure and true. There's the faithful one. Jesus is our faithful Savior. He said it. What's that old thing? God said it. That settles it. Let it be the case for us. I'm going to invite Tim up. We scratched the surface. Hope it's whet your appetite. Go home and do some study, do some good praying, look it through. Soaking God's faithfulness. What should we do about all this? About God's faithfulness towards us? Well, I'll just read two verses, and then we'll respond to them. Psalm 89:5 says, "And the heavens will praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness also in the assembly of the saints." And then Psalm 92:2, "to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night." So what should we respond to? Well, this is just two ways right here. Declare it. Declare God's faithfulness and praise him. Give thanks for his faithfulness. Great is his faithfulness. I had a friend that he's home with the Lord now. But God put him as a pastor over a large fellowship. And I always was so blessed when I go visit the church that he was a pastor at, because he had entered the church right above it. Big letters, "Great is thy faithfulness." Just reminding everybody that walks in the door. That's what Steve just was led to make sure everybody understood. Remember, they soaked in. Every time they walked in church, the reminder, God is faithful. Heavenly Father, for that we do thank you. We want to praise you. We want to just, we're told there, to declare how faithful you are. And Lord, help us go out of here and soak in and lay hold of and just remember that your word is true and sure. And your promises are sure. And while there are lies all around us and promises broken all around us, you are always true. Your promises are sure. So Lord, we rest in you now. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.